If you have no other reason to get your praise on this morning, you should be dancing, because when you walked in the door, one of the first heads that you saw was that of Sister Rosetta Carr. Amen. Amen. She has been tuning in Sunday after Sunday via phone as she has waited and waited for her strength to return so that she can come back and gather with God's people. And we're just glad that on today she was able to make it into the house of the Lord, and we give him praise and thanks for that. Amen. Can't nobody tell her story like she can, so I'm not going to go through the details of how she has overcome an open heart surgery and how she has dealt with the loss of a husband over the last year. And yet, if you talk to her, what you will discover is that she still has hope, that the very thing that is up on her lips is talking about the goodness of her God. And you and I know that sometimes we get confused with the troubles of life, and we think that because we have trouble, it means that God is not necessarily good. Can I just tell you that even in the midst of trouble, God is still good? Amen. And it is incumbent upon you and me that we become the spokespeople, the ones who proclaim his goodness no matter what's going on in our lives. So we're just grateful and thankful for her testimony, for her witness, and what God has been doing in her life. We're gathered here today, and we've come to worship and celebrate the goodness of God. We've talked about being in this Advent season. Advent is referred to as the last or those four Sundays prior to December 25th, which is normally celebrated as the birth of Christ. So last Sunday was the first Sunday of Advent for the 2022 year. And last Sunday, we talked about hope, and we talked about the fact of because of Emmanuel, we have hope. Emmanuel is the name that is established and given to Jesus Christ. He was identified as Emmanuel. And then we were told in the text, Emmanuel means God with us. We went back to Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, where it was prophesied years and years, and we can say centuries before, that there would be a virgin who would give birth to a child, and that child would be called Jesus. But he also said, and he will be called Emmanuel, because that child that virgin would have would be none other than the Son of God. And so we talked about because of Jesus, the Son of God, the one who is with us, we have hope. Amen. And our hope is anchored in him. And if you got nothing else out of that message, it is this: make sure that your hope is anchored in the Lord. Make sure that your hope is anchored in Jesus Christ. Why? Because every promise that God has made is yes and amen in Jesus. And if you can get your arms around Jesus, if you can get your heart around Jesus, if you can get your mind, which is impossible, wrapped around Jesus, you can be assured that in every situation that you can have hope, and your hope will not disappoint you. So we have hope in this holiday season, and we are reminded by the fact that as we reflect on the coming of Jesus Christ, that God is faithful to keep his word. He is faithful to his promises. So hope was the first Sunday. On this Sunday, I want to talk about faith. I'm going to talk about faith during the Advent season. Amen. So we got hope, and then we have faith. And I want you to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. I want to read one verse to begin us off, but this context is around verses 26 through 45 in Luke chapter 1. Last week, we looked at the story of Joseph as he was dealing with the news that his bride was found to be with child. This week, we're going to look at the story of Mary as she receives word that she has been selected, she has been chosen to be the mother of Jesus Christ. That story is found in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 45. And for our reading, I simply want to read verse number 45 to our hearing. And then we will talk through verses 26 through 45, because they provide for us the happenings. Amen. Verse 45 actually records the words of Elizabeth as she is talking to Mary. And in verse 45, Elizabeth declares, "Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." Blessed is she who has believed what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. This was Elizabeth making a statement to Mary, the mother of Jesus, after Mary has gone to visit Elizabeth and they have had a greeting. Elizabeth's final expression to her is, "Girl, you are blessed. And the reason you are blessed is because you have believed, you believe that what the Lord said would be accomplished." And can I just tell you this morning, if you're bold enough to believe what God says to you, that you'll be blessed too. Amen. If you have the audacity to move beyond what you generally think and allow God's word to permeate your heart and your mind, when you embrace it, receive it, and walk in it, it will yield and result for you a blessing in your life. And so this morning, we want to talk about faith in God through Christ alone. Amen. So you have the context of this statement that Elizabeth makes, saying to Mary, "Blessed is she who has believed." Remember, we said that there are some key things that the church needs to be talking about on a regular basis, and Christmas helps us talk about the incarnation. The incarnation is the coming of God in the form of man. It is the coming of Jesus Christ into humanity. It is the God-man that is being manifest, because Jesus is fully God and he's also fully man. Jesus, he is deity undiminished. Amen. And he's also perfect humanity. In Jesus, there is no sin. Amen. This is important because he is coming as the one who will redeem all of mankind. And in order for him to be a perfect lamb, that means that that word perfect must stand, that he must be without sin. And he must then walk into the fullness of what God has provided. And history down through the ages has demonstrated time and time again that unless God provided for this for himself, that there would be no one who was able to carry it out. For Adam, who was formed out of the dirt, did not have enough wherewithal within all that God had made to be able to resist the temptation of the enemy. It was not until God himself would come in the form of Jesus Christ that there would be anyone who can stand up against the temptation of the sinful nature, or even the temptation of the enemy of your soul, Satan himself. And so Jesus comes as he is fully God and fully man. It is the incarnation. And you know, we talk about the incarnation, but we must see it all in its full entirety, because it talks about Jesus coming to earth, right? Jesus also living Amen. And then it says Jesus died. So this is what? The crucifixion. So we've got to talk about the incarnation. We've got to talk about the life he lived. We've got to talk about the death he died. We've got to talk about the fact that he was buried in a tomb. But wait a minute, it's empty because he was raised from the dead. What is that? The resurrection. So we've got to talk about the incarnation. We've got to talk about the crucifixion. We've got to talk about the resurrection. And then we've got to talk about the ascension, because when he woke up, when he got up from the grave, he walked among men for about 40 days, but he said, I can only stay here for so long. I got to go back to heaven where I belong and rule. And so he ascended back to heaven, where he took his place at the right hand of the Father, where he had all power and authority in his hand. For he said to his disciples before he left, all authority has been given unto me. And then in Philippians chapter 1, we read where everything must bow to him because of what he did. And so he ascended back to heaven. And then that last downward arrow reminds us that he's coming back again. Amen. So you got the incarnation, you've got the crucifixion, you've got the resurrection, you have the ascension, and then you have his returning again, or the second coming. Those are things that you and I ought to be talking about on a regular basis and never get tired of talking about them, because you and I are the carriers of the truth of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if those of us who are carriers don't tell the story, chances are the story will get messed up. So we've got to tell the story, and we've got to tell it well. In order to tell the story, we've got to know the story. Amen. And thanks be to God that he has taken the time to send down through the ages so that he could codify, put it in writing, his word, so that each one of us could read, learn, store it in our hearts, so that we can then tell others about the good news of Jesus Christ. And I am so thankful that he has not relied upon just our memories alone or just our capacity alone, but he has placed his spirit in us to be a help for us, so that he anoints our tongue, he anoints our mind, so that we can clearly articulate his word with clarity and with truth, because he is the one who feeds us and fills us. Can you just give God a big hand clap of praise for his Holy Spirit that lives inside of you and does amazing things? Amen. He does. He does. And so as we talk about faith and talk about the incarnation and it being played out in real time, we want to examine this word faith as it is demonstrated by this young lady, Mary, that brought a blessing to the entire world because of her act of faith. Hebrews chapter 11. It's a very familiar passage, verse number 1. It's what most of us will say when we talk about what faith is. Amen. If Sister Carr had the microphone in her hand, she would be telling you, if I say what faith is, she would spit out what Hebrews 11, 1 says, that faith is the substance of things hoped for. See what I'm saying? In the evidence of things not yet seen. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11 is that chapter that talks about, it's the great hall of faith, because he says this is what faith is. And then he starts giving examples of people who walked by faith, who lived by faith. And he reminds us in verse number 6 that without faith, it is impossible to please God. But one of my favorite definitions of faith comes out of Romans chapter 4, verse number 21. And if Chaplain Brown had the microphone in her hand, she would be telling you what Romans chapter 4, verse 21 says, because she gets tired of me saying, being fully persuaded that what God has promised, he is also able to perform. He is able to do it. Amen. That's talking about a man by the name of Abraham. For God had said to Abraham, you're going to be a father of many nations. And God said this to Abraham when he had no children. And to make things even more interesting, Abraham was also an old man. God says to an old man with no children that you are going to be the father of many nations. And this particular verse in Romans chapter 4, verse 21 describes Abraham's journey from the time God makes the promise until the time it is received. It describes his attitude, which represents faith and helps you and I understand how we have to be patient and walk in what God has said, be patient and wait for what God has said, because he said, being fully persuaded, God was able to do what he promised. He was fully persuaded. He did not waver from the left nor to the right. He didn't know how God was going to do it, but he simply knew that if God said it, God has the ability to fulfill what he has promised. And as Abraham waited on God to come through, you and I know the rest of the story. He received a son in his old age. And it was God saying to Abraham, what I said I would do, I did. And it was God saying to you and me that he is faithful, because he's the same God today that he was back then. Ooh, that get me excited. And that when you and I discover that that same God that spoke is able to deliver, what situation do you and I come in contact with? What do we have that God cannot do? But we've got to have faith and believe that God is able to do exactly what he said he would or will do. And so that brings us back to Luke chapter 1, verse number 45. The words that Elizabeth spoke to her relative, Mary. Blessed is she who believes that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. Yet another definition, another expansion, another perspective or view to what faith is. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. Being fully persuaded that God is able to do what he has promised. He is able to perform it. And now, faith is believing that what God has said will be accomplished. Amen? Somebody asks you what faith is? It's believing that what God has said will be accomplished. Amen. It don't get hard. So here it is. Don't make it hard. You know, people will try to trip you up because they feel like when you start talking about the things of God that you got to get deep and, you know, no. That's the problem. Folk trying to get so deep that they're getting lost in their deepness that they can't find God who has brought himself down so you and I could find him. But they getting so deep that they're missing him when he's right there in front of them. No, keep it simple. Faith is simply believing that what God has said, he can accomplish. Now, that's a powerful statement in the context of this story that is found in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 45. And it's a powerful statement coming from the woman Elizabeth, because she has a blessing that a miracle that she is also living in the midst of when she makes this statement. Elizabeth, who happens to be an old woman herself, has become pregnant. Because God had selected Elizabeth and a guy by the name of Zechariah, who was a priest, a servant of the living God. He has selected them to be the father of a guy by the name of John the Baptizer. John is to be the forerunner of Jesus Christ. He is the one who would go ahead of Jesus Christ, and his proclamation would be to all of those who are listening, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. But Elizabeth and Zechariah had tried for years and years and years to have a baby. But unfortunately, Elizabeth was found to be barren. And then when Zechariah went to serve at the temple to offer incense and to pray for all of the people, an angel of the Lord showed up to where Zechariah was and said to Zechariah, "Your prayer has been heard. You and your wife are going to have a baby." Zechariah, even though he is in the temple praying at the altar, sees an angel, is still struck with unbelief because of the almost impossibility of what the angel speaks. For Zechariah knows that he is old, and it ain't been much action happening in Zach's house. Amen? And when there has been action happening in Zach's house, the results have not been that a child has come forth. And so when he hears this proclamation of the angel, he's like, maybe you got the wrong person today. He says, how can this be? Zechariah's doubt results in him having to be mute, unable to talk for at least 9 months. Because the angel said to him, it's going to happen because God has declared it. But because you chose to question me in this fashion, when I brought you a message from the presence of the Lord, here's the proof that what I say to you is true. The proof that what I say to you is true. The question you just asked gonna be the last one. Because you won't be able to talk until what I have declared has come to pass. And just as Zach is getting ready to open up his mouth and say, okay, he realized, I can't talk. And so Zechariah then leaves his service, unable to talk. Everybody realizes that something has happened, but he goes home. And when he goes home, Elizabeth, in her old age, the one who has been barren, she becomes pregnant to fulfill the word that had come from the Lord, because faith is believing that God is able to accomplish what he said he would do. No matter what your circumstances are, no matter what the challenges are, God is able to do, can you say it with me, the impossible. And so Elizabeth becomes pregnant. And now in the 6th month of her pregnancy, that same angel now goes to visit Mary. Mary is a virgin, but she is engaged to be married to a man by the name of Joseph. And when the angel shows up to Mary, he greets her and says to her, "Greetings, you who are highly favored of the Lord." It's almost like saying, God has had his eyes on you. Hey, girl, what's up? God been watching you. And I just want you to know that you are favored of the Lord, because what God has seen, he's been pleased with. He has already chosen this route, this path, and I've come to tell you what God is about to do. And he gives her this incredible message that I have to tell you, it takes faith for her to believe it. Listen to what he says. He says, "Mary, you have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." Wow. But in verse 24, she responds to the angel. Excuse me, verse 34, she responds to the angel. And her response happens to be similar to what Zechariah's response was, for she looks at the angel and she says, how will this be since I am a virgin? I always love this because her question to the angel is not one of doubt like Zechariah's was. Zechariah's was one of doubt. And as a result, the angel had to say to him, I'm going to give you proof that what I say is really true from the Lord. So it resulted in him not being able to talk for at least 9 months. With Mary, the angel doesn't seem to get an attitude, which I think, again, helps you and me take a look at Mary and see this woman of faith, this young girl of faith that says that I am willing to believe that what God says to me, he is able to do. I'm just needing a little bit more detail to understand exactly what's going to go on here. And so look at what the angel says. Verse number 35, he says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And then he tells her, even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren is in her 6th month. And then if you don't have verse 37 underlined in your Bible already, if you don't have it highlighted in your Bibles already, you need to make sure that you have it highlighted. This is probably one of the easiest verses for you to commit to memory and know that it stands true. For the angel then says, for nothing is impossible with God. The angel says, here's what's going to happen. The Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. You're going to become pregnant with child. And then he says, and oh, by the way, you remember your relative Elizabeth, who's old and who has been barren? She is already in her 6th month. Because what I'm telling you, I know it's hard for you to comprehend, but what I'm telling you is that the God that you've been worshiping, the God that you've been serving, the God that you've been holding out for, the God that you've been doing all of these things for, he is able to do above and beyond anything that you can ask, think, or imagine. And he showed up with Elizabeth, and she is now in her 6th month. And when I leave, you will be carrying the Son of God. Mary, in verse 38, says, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. And when Mary said that, the angel said, my assignment is complete. I'm free to go. And so he leaves. He exits stage left. He's gone. Actually, he went up. You know, he didn't go left. He went up, right? Because he returned back to where he was. The angel is gone, and now Mary, all of a sudden, as the Bible describes it, she gets her stuff together because now Mary is a woman that is walking in faith. She gets her stuff together, and she says, I've got to go and see my relative, my cousin Elizabeth. And so Mary makes her way. She gets up and she leaves and she goes across on a journey and she makes it to Zechariah and Elizabeth's house. The Bible says that when Elizabeth greeted her at the door, she heard Mary's greeting, that the baby that was already in Elizabeth, it leaped. And Elizabeth herself was filled with the Holy Spirit. And we've been talking about praise over the last couple of months. When she was filled with the Holy Spirit, she got loud all of a sudden. And it says, in a loud voice, she exclaimed, blessed is the child you will bear. Excuse me. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. And then she says, but why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And then that's where our verse shows up, right? Verse 45, blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. Mary's attitude and her actions were actions of faith. She received the message from the angel of the Lord. She received it with joy. She made herself available to God to say to God, I am your servant. You can do to me whatever you want to do. And then after the angel left, she went to see her relative Elizabeth because the angel had said Elizabeth is already 6 months pregnant. Now, the angel didn't tell her to go see him, but she went to see her relative Elizabeth as she is walking in faith. She is demonstrating that she believes God. She's demonstrating that her faith will allow her to let God interrupt her plans so that she can be presented to God to be used by him. Because it seems like she understands that God has chosen to use people to accomplish his will. She has said, here I am, I'm your servant, you're free to use me to do what you want to do. Wasn't that demonstrated with Abraham? Abraham, God is saying, Abraham, you're going to be a father of many nations, you're going to have many descendants, many children. Abraham says to God, Sarah says to God, we're your servants, you're free to use us. While they don't understand the full context of what God is about to do through them, they make themselves available to be used by God, and therefore they are blessed and they become a blessing to the world. For it is through Abraham, it is through Jesus that the promise to Abraham is fulfilled. For it is Jesus who comes to be a light unto the world. Likewise, Mary, when the angel comes to her, says to the angel, I am the Lord's servant. He is free to use me however he chooses. Look at it in the process. Mary is blessed. But yet, while she is being blessed, the entire world is also being blessed. See, brothers and sisters, what you and I have got to understand is that God has chosen to use humanity. He has chosen to use men and women to carry out his will. And what he has said is that when you walk with him, yes, you will be blessed. But you need to understand that your blessing has bigger implications than the right here and now, right in this moment, that your blessing has implications that will have impact not only in your life but in the lives of others that you don't yet see or you can't yet fully understand. That's why your job and my job is simply to walk in obedience with faith to what God reveals and shows us, with the expectation that whatever God allows to come my way and delivers me through, it is going to bring glory to his holy and righteous name. Mary allows God to interrupt her plans. Her plans were to get married to Joseph, then to begin a family. God said, no, I'm going to get you started. And Joseph, you and Joseph are going to be the caretakers of my beloved gift to the world. And Mary says to him, my plans take second stage to yours. And so she rolled up her blueprint. She rolled up her goal chart, whatever that thing, you know how we do that thing. She rolled it up and she pushed it to the side and she said, here I am. I belong to you, O Lord. You are free to use me the way you want to use me. Praise God for Mary's faithfulness. Praise God for Mary's willingness to allow her life to be interrupted. Praise God that Mary was willing to go through the hard stuff so that God's purposes could be fulfilled in her life and in his plan. Don't you want to be like Mary? Not really. Not if you describe it like that, right? It's one thing to talk about just walking in faith, but the way you describe it, you're like, you're pushing everything else around. Yes, everything has to be pushed around. Because when God calls us God is calling us so that we put him center stage in everything that does not fit into God's plan. How he has designed us, how he has purposed us, must fall to the wayside. And we must allow God to say that he can do whatever he wants to do with our lives, with the understanding that in God's hands, your life becomes his masterpiece. In his hands. And it's only when you're walking in obedience that he doesn't have to keep reshaping and remolding to make his masterpiece. Amen. Mary demonstrates for us that God is a God who is able to call people into his journey and give them assignment to fulfill his will and his purposes. This part of the story fits into what? The incarnation, Jesus coming into the world. I want to take you back to Isaiah chapter 9, because the angel declares some things to Mary that's important for you and me to see the connection between God's promise and his timing. Isaiah chapter 9 is a very familiar passage of scripture to you and me, for we quote it often, particularly during this time of the year. And I want to bring your attention specifically to verses 6 and 7. For in verse number 6, Isaiah chapter 9, it says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." This is the prophet Isaiah proclaiming what is to come through the child, Jesus Christ, through the Messiah, through the Savior of the world that God would send. For he says, "For unto us a child is born." Yes, a child is going to be born, but more importantly, a son is going to be given. So he's saying that this son is going to be given, and he says, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This son that will be given, the government will rest upon his shoulders. He will rule. It will be a kingdom that is given to him. You don't have to turn back there, but I want to read to you again these words that the angel spoke to Mary. He said, "You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus." Let me pause for a moment, because it was to Joseph that the angel actually helps us understand what the name Jesus means. For when the angel showed up in Joseph's dream, he said to him, "You are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." The name Jesus was to be given to the baby because Jesus was going to be, is the Savior of the world. Here, the angel just tells Mary, "You are to give him the name Jesus." The angel told Joseph, "The reason that you are to give him the name Jesus is because he will save his people, all of his people." Remember, Jesus is the creator of the whole world. In him, all things were created. There is no person that belongs that does not belong to God. All of his people belong to him, not just one group of people, not just one people group, but all of creation comes from him. And so he says he will save his people. And then in verse 32, it says he will be great and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. When you go back to Isaiah chapter 9, what he is describing is a kingdom that will never end. He is describing the coming of something that will have no end. He is describing the coming of something that will have rulership. He is describing the coming of a king that cannot be stopped. That's found in the person of Jesus Christ. And Jesus later in his life will help us to understand, as he is talking to a man who thinks he's in charge, he tells him that, listen, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, I could call a legion of angels to come and get rid of you right now if I wanted to. He says, no, I'm describing to you a kingdom that is not seen with physical eyes, but its impact is experienced in your world. He says, I'm describing to you a kingdom that you can't see with your naked eye, but it is a kingdom that is real and that exists. And brothers and sisters, you and I walk by what? Faith and not by sight. If you and I are to experience the truths of God, you and I got to stop looking at the things that we see, expecting God to be moving and operating in only what we see. We've got to understand that we serve a God who is not visible to the naked eye, and he only allows you to see him when he wants you to see him. He is a God who is here, even though you can't see him. Oh, but he is here. Amen. He is a God who is present, even though he is invisible to you and me. But just because I can't see it with my naked eye does not mean that he is not there. And faith says that I believe that God is who he said he is, that God can do what he said he will do, and that God will fulfill what he has promised he would fulfill. Faith says, I believe that God sits high and looks low. Faith says, I believe that Jesus Christ came as a baby. I believe that Jesus Christ lived a sinless life. I believe that Jesus Christ allowed people to nail him to a cross. I believe that Jesus laid down his life because nobody could take it. I believe that Jesus took his last breath and declared that it was finished. Faith says, I believe that Jesus was taken down from the tomb, wrapped up in a cloth, down from the cross, wrapped up in a cloth, placed in a tomb. Faith says, I believe that death could not hold him and that he got up on the third day. Faith says, even though I was not there, I believe that the power that raised Jesus from the dead is still alive and at work in me. That's faith. Oh, if you ask me to grab it with my hands, I can't. If you ask me to show you the picture of it, well, I can do that. Woo! I can do that. I can do that. See, I got some testimonies. I can do that, right? I got some evidence. I got some evidence that he is real. I got some evidence that his power is real. I got some evidence that he shows up in the midst of trouble. I got some evidence that he delivers. And so you've asked me to start painting a picture and giving some illustrations. Oh, I can tell you about the God who is real and who shows up. Yeah, yeah. Mary. The Spirit of God comes upon her and she is then with child and she is carrying the Son of God. How does that happen? By the power of the Holy Spirit. Help me out back there. Faith says. Faith says that you and I believe that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is at work in you and me. Faith says, I believe that the same power that rested upon Mary works inside of you and me. Why? Because Jesus said, when I leave, I'm going to send my spirit to dwell on the inside of you. And when my spirit is dwelling on the inside of you, he is going to be able to do for you things that you cannot do for yourself, because he is going to be transforming you and changing you and conforming you to the image of my son, so that you stop looking like you used to look and you start looking like my son. Faith says, I believe that I'm not who I used to be, that I'm not in the future will be who I am. Why? Because he keeps changing me. Faith says that what he has started in me, he will also complete it, because his spirit is at work in me. Brothers and sisters, you cannot experience the change, the power of God without faith. Why? Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible for God's power to be at work in your life. For faith operates on the word of God, and you must demonstrate that you believe what God has said by carrying out his instructions to you and to me. So you say, thank God for his spirit, because it is by his spirit that I have faith. And my faith in God is in Christ alone, that I stand upon him and upon him alone, because it is only in Christ that God has promised to fulfill his purposes for your life and for my life. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7 gives us some profound truths. Says that this Son of God will be called Wonderful Counselor. That's a truth that is stated, but it's something that has to be appropriated. I've got to now take this and walk in it. He's a wonderful counselor. He's not just a good counselor. He's a wonderful counselor. You know what a counselor is? A counselor is someone who leads, guides, and directs, who gives instructions, who helps you process information. A counselor is one who helps you to know the way that you should go. He is a wonderful counselor. What makes Jesus a wonderful counselor? Well, you got to go all the way back to the beginning of time to understand why he's a wonderful counselor, because at the beginning of time, Jesus was there in the beginning when God began to say, let there be. Remember, it is said in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was what? Was with God, and the Word was with God. That Word is Jesus himself. And so when God is back at the beginning saying, let there be, God is declaring this Jesus Christ, this Logos, living Word, and he is saying, let there be light. And when God begins to say, let there be light, the Holy Spirit is hovering over the dark valleys, over the darkness. And when God speaks the word, the Holy Spirit begins to operate, and suddenly light comes up. He's a wonderful counselor because he has been there from the beginning of time. And when you have the one who has been there from the beginning of time giving you wisdom and insight, how can you go wrong? When you have the one who has been there from the beginning of time, who knows your story from beginning to end, when he tells you to turn left, he knows what he's talking about. He's a wonderful counselor. He's the kind of counselor that can help you avoid pitfalls in life. He's the kind of counselor that can get you to the destination that he has set out for you, because he knows where you going, and he knows how he wants to get you there. He's a wonderful counselor, and it is by faith that you must appropriate that truth, that when you don't know what to do, all you got to do is say, thank you, God, for my wonderful counselor. And then you got to say, now here I am. I'm waiting on you to provide me with instructions. I'm waiting on you to provide me with comfort. I'm waiting on you to provide me with direction. I'm waiting on you to provide me with understanding. And if I'm willing to wait on you, the spirit that lives in me, by faith, I will be able to receive what God has promised that he would give to me. Why? Because he said faith is believing that God is able to deliver. He is able to accomplish what he said. Amen. Wonderful counselor. He's also a mighty God. A mighty God. He's a mighty God. What makes him a mighty God? Okay, I'm not going to go all the way back to the beginning again. What makes him a mighty God? Remember this child that is given. This son that is given. The child is born. The son is given. He is the son of God. He comes. And because there has not been a sinful man involved in the process, you have a God, Jesus, who has perfect, undiminished deity. He has perfect humanity, and he is a mighty God. He's not an idol. You know what an idol is, right? An idol is a person, place, or thing that you put your hope, your trust, and your confidence in that has limited power. Sometimes it is built by the imagination of men, whether it be philosophies, whether it be systems, or whether in some cases people actually build those little things that they bow down and worship to and call them their gods. An idol is a god that has eyes, but it cannot see. Idol is a god that has ears, but it cannot hear. An idol is a god that has hands, but is not able to reach out and work in your circumstances and your situations. That's an idol. It may be referred to as a god, but it's not the mighty God. An idol may be something that people bow down and worship, but it does not yield the results of peace. It does not yield the results of having one who is strong and mighty to intervene on their behalf. It does not have the ability to move and change the stations that have been set up by the God. So an idol may be referred to as a God. It may require people to bow down and worship, and some people may even give money to their idols. Yes, they do. Sometimes they do it on a monthly basis. Every time that payment comes due, they give it up as they worship their idols. An idol cannot deliver. But it says of this son that will be given, he will be referred to as a mighty God. He won't be a fake God. He won't be an idol. He will be a mighty God, a mighty God, a mighty God, a God who is able to move, a God who is able to change circumstances, a God who is able to take situations and fix them. He's the kind of God that was able to walk on water in the middle of a storm and say to those whom he had told to go to the other side, peace be still. Why? Because he is a mighty God, and because they were in the boat trying to go where he told them to go, he said, I'm going to show up and show you how mighty I am, because I can speak to the wind and to the waves, and when I talk to them, they must obey, because I am a mighty God. Why? Because I am the one who created the wind and the waves, and therefore, when I talk to them, they must obey what I say. That's what a mighty God is. And what makes Jesus a mighty God? Because he is the Son of God, who was there in the beginning, who was obedient in the middle, who is there fulfilling God's purposes and God's plan so that men and women could be reconciled and redeemed to him. He's a mighty God because there is no devil in hell that can stop God from saving you and giving you life. I don't know. That ought to get you excited. That ought to get you excited that no matter what weapon has been formed against you, because he is a mighty God, it means that that weapon won't be successful. That means that no matter what's raised up against you, because he is a mighty God, he is able to overcome your greatest challenge. No matter what's going on inside of you, because he is a mighty God, he is able to deliver. But you've got to appropriate that thing by faith. You've got to believe that God is able to do exactly what he said he would do. You've got to be fully persuaded. You've got to believe that God can accomplish what he said he will do. If God said he's going to give me perfect peace, I got to believe God will give me perfect peace. If God said he will supply all of my needs according to his riches in Christ, I gotta believe that no matter what the situation is, if God said it, God can do it. And I've got to believe that even though when I open up the cupboard and there is nothing there, I got to believe that God is able to do it. Amen. Faith says that when I put my belief to work, when I stand up on it, that God will deliver, he will come through. There's an Old Testament story about a woman who was married to a prophet. And unfortunately, the prophet died and left his wife with debt. And they also had a couple of children, some sons. Upon the father's death, upon the prophet's death, the debtors, the people that they owed money to, came knocking on the widow's door to collect the money that she owed. Unfortunately, she had nothing stashed away in cookie jars. There was no can that was buried underneath the tree. When she lifted up the mattress, there was nothing but dust. They said to her, if you don't have the money, then we'll have to take your children. Let them work off your debt until it is paid. The woman leaves her debtor. She goes to the prophet. She says to the prophet, they've come and they want to take my kids because of the money that we owe. The prophet says to her, what do you have? She says, I don't have anything but just a little bit of oil in a jar. Prophet says, I need you to do something. I want you to go through the neighborhood and I want you to knock on doors and I want you to ask people for their empty jars, the jugs. So the woman left the prophet simply on obedience to what the prophet had given. She went around through the neighborhood knocking on doors, asking her neighbors in her community, do you have any empty jars, any empty jugs? Can me and my boys have them? And praise be to God, because her neighbors were generous. They said, sure, I have some empty jars and jugs, and they gave them to her. She collected all of the empty jars and jugs in her community. She took them back home to where her boys were, and then she went back to the prophet and said, okay, I've done what you told me to do. The prophet said, good. Now I want you to go back home. And I want you to close the door. And I want you to take that little bit of jar of oil. And I want you to take all those empty jars. And I want you to take that little bit of jar of oil and fill up all those empty jars. Now, I'm going to let that sit there for a minute, because I know what you said. The prophet then lost his mind. And sometimes it feels like when the word of God comes to you in a situation that seems to be, it's just too difficult. You, in the word God gives you, you feel like, come on, God, for real. And God said, yeah, just try me. Yeah, just trust me. Let me show you what I can do when you walk in faith. She didn't argue with the prophet. She just simply went back to the house and closed her door and locked it, picked up the little jar of oil, and went over to the first jug. Can't you just see her? Went over to the first empty one, and she started pouring. And it kept coming. And suddenly, the jar is full. And she moved over to the next jug, and she kept pouring. And it's filling up. And now that one is full. She moved over. You know by now. First jar, she was kind of skeptical. Come on, y'all. She may have stepped in faith, but she was kind of skeptical. By now, she like, boy, bring me them jugs. Boy, get that jug over here. And that little jar that she had filled every jug or jar that she had collected. And when she had filled the last one, she said to her boys, give me one more jar. They said, Mama, that's all. Mama ain't no more. She said, boy, look under the table. Mama, it ain't no more. The moment that they said there was no more, the oil stopped flowing. Who was the source? It was the mighty God. The mighty God who says that when you walk in faith, that he can take the little that you have and meet your needs according to his riches in glory. Why? Because this is just a resource while he is the source. Amen. Walking by faith, the woman was able to fill all those jars with oil. Then she was able to go sell it back in the community from the people that she had got the empty jars from. And she was able to get enough money to pay off all of her debt and then take care of her boys so that she was no longer worried about them being taken into custody and having to work off their debt. Why? Because she put her hope, her trust, and her confidence in the Lord. And she walked in obedience by faith, doing that which was almost impossible, to watch God deliver and come through. Brothers and sisters, I just want to encourage you as we think about the Advent, the fact that Jesus came and he came through a virgin. That was a miracle. The fact that this woman made herself available to God because God chose to use her. And he said to her, you are favored and you are blessed. And what did she say? I am the Lord's servant. You're free to use me as you please. And because she made herself available and free to be used, the Holy Spirit came upon her with power, and he began to work in her that which was a miracle itself. It was a powerful miracle because the Holy Spirit has now made alive in her the very Son of God. That's a miracle. And brothers and sisters, when you and I walk in faith, believing that God is able to do exactly what he said he could do, he will take his spirit that is in you and upon you and will transform your life, transform your situation, transform you so that you become a light to those around you and a testimony to the power of a living God. And I just challenge you during this Christmas season, let the Spirit of God do something in you that you weren't expecting, that you had not planned. Can I just encourage you to take the box from around him and allow him to operate and work in you in such a way that his power might be manifest in you? For you cannot put a box around God. And if you will walk by faith, everything that the Spirit of God wants to do in your life can be fulfilled. All of his power can be manifest upon your body. If you are willing to walk in faith, all of his power can be manifest in your circumstances. If you are willing to walk in faith, will you this holiday season give God the gift of allowing his spirit to have his way in your life? Amen. Hallelujah. Will you give God a big hand clap of praise just for his spirit that lives in you, for his power that works on you? My faith is in God alone, through Christ alone, because every promise of God is yes and amen in Jesus Christ. Will you bow your heads with me? And as you place yourself in the story, say to God, ask him to help you be more available like Mary was. Admit that you don't know exactly what he wants to do in your life, but you know he wants to do something. And ask him to help you to be ready to say yes when he comes with his request. Offer yourself fully to him. Say to him, God, I am your servant. Do to me as you will.